Okay, we're recording. I've got my gavel, so it's official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the City of Bainbridge Island Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is August 13, 2020, at 10 a.m. We have one item on the agenda this morning. This is number PLN 51524 SPRA CUPA, a request for a site plan and design review major adjustment and a conditional use permit major adjustment to allow the conversion of an existing healthcare facility at 8804 Madison Avenue North to a governmental facility housing the city's police and court departments. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, who the city has selected to hold certain land use application hearings. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal complies with the city's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific criteria of approval for a major adjustment of a site plan and a conditional use permit under the municipal code. To that end, I received 25 exhibits in advance of the hearing today that I had an opportunity to review, and I'm going to deem those exhibits admitted into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they would like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. Speaking of testimony, all testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act, the audio recording from today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. As we're all aware, it's a little bit unique time in history, and we're using remote meeting technology to accomplish our hearing today. So swearing people in and some of these other normal procedures are a little strange, but to make things easy, what I'm going to do is anyone who feels that they may testify today, I'm going to go ahead and have you raise your hand now, and I'm going to swear you all in at the same time. So do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in any testimony you give here today? Good. Now everyone is waving at each other. We're all friendly. Everyone is sworn in that thinks they might testify, and we've established that this will be a civil and respectful proceeding where we all treat each other well. So that's the basic order of things. I may ask questions of those that testify. I'm not trying to trip anyone up. I'm just trying to ensure that I have a thorough understanding of the proposal so that within 10 business days of the record closing, I'm able to produce a decision that is hopefully clear and cogent and legally defensible. As to the order that we're going to follow, I believe first we're going to hear from city staff, who's going to give an overview of the proposal along with any recommendations that the city has. And then, strangely, because it's a city project, we will also hear from other members of city staff who are serving the role of applicant today to see if they have any additional information they feel that myself and members of the public should be aware of. And then I'll go and see if we have members of the public interested in testifying. Doesn't seem to be a lot of public interest today, but I will check in when we get to that point in the proceeding to see if there are those that wanted to testify. And if appropriate at the end, I'll turn it back to city staff to respond to any such testimony. So that's how things are going to run today. I thank everyone for being here. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Fairley for city staff, who's going to give an overview of the proposal. So thank you for being here. And for purposes of the audio recording, if you can just sort of reintroduce yourself when you are unmuted so that it's clear who's talking. The hope is that eventually the only record of this hearing will be the audio and not the video as well. That way we can clearly hear who is participating. So with that, please proceed. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Hearing Examiner Reeves, for being here today. And thank you to the applicant and others involved in the project for being here as well. My name is Ellen Fairley, and I am an associate planner and the project manager for this proposal. Also joining me is my colleague, senior planner Kelly Teara, who has helped me with this project and is available for questions. Mike Michael, engineering manager, is also here and available for questions if needed. I have six slides prepared today, and we'll give a brief overview of the proposal and recommendations. As a point of clarification, the decision criteria have changed since this application was deemed complete. The application was reviewed under the decision criteria in effect at the time of complete application. The applicable decision criteria language was provided to the hearing examiner's officer earlier in the week as requested. There are existing site plan review and conditional use permit approvals for the project site. The proposal is to convert a healthcare facility to a governmental facility, which changes the character of the use and requires a major adjustment to the site plan review and conditional use permit. In general, the proposal includes little change to the site, except for one 484 square foot, two-story addition on the west side of the existing building to enclose an existing stairway and create a locker room and lunch room, and also a new roof overhang for covered impound storage on the south side. These additions are indicated in blue on the site plan. The addition on the west side of the building falls within what would be a critical area buffer under current critical area regulations. The green line on this slide indicates the extent of the prescriptive type F or fish-bearing stream buffer, and the previously established wetland buffer, delineated by a split rail fence, is also shown on the site plan. However, the code allows for activities within this area that are functionally isolated from the critical area by an existing permanent substantial development. A critical area report was submitted by the applicant verifying that the addition is separated from the critical areas by an existing permanent substantial development. The proposal is in compliance with current critical area requirements as detailed on page 10 and 11 of the staff report. The director reviewed the staff, design review board, and planning commission recommendations for approval. The director finds the project is compliant with the Bainbridge Island Municipal Code and in accord with the comprehensive plan, and recommends approval of the SPRA and CUPA subject to the conditions recommended in the staff report. The project was properly noticed and posted with the SEPA comment period. There were no public comments made during the comment period and no SEPA appeals filed. The project is properly before the hearing examiner for decision. This concludes my presentation, Hearing Examiner Reeves, and I'm available for any questions.
Great, thank you. First question, a simple one, but would you like to have this PowerPoint presentation admitted as an exhibit in the record today?
Yes, please, I would like to have it admitted to the record.
Okay, so we'll make that exhibit 26. Does that track with your numbering of the exhibits?
Yes, it does. And I have provided this to Carla Lundgren already as well.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Next, that question you sort of clarified at the beginning on your first slide, but this issue of vesting. So this application was deemed complete back in November of 2019. And then in December, the city updated its code, correct?
That is correct.
And I recognize you're not an attorney, but I'm going to read some very specific language to get an answer, which is, does staff believe that the 2019 changes to the code are, quote, land use control ordinances, end quote, that would have a restraining or directing influence on the use of land in the city?
Yes.
Okay. So what we established then is that the city believes this project vests to the previous version of the code, and that's sufficient for my purposes. So thank you for clarifying that. And as you noted, they are publicly available, so I don't think we need to make them exhibits, but the city did provide me versions of the old version of the code that are being used today so that I am able to cite the correct version of the code. Next question, I don't believe we got a copy of the most recent public hearing notice. Am I wrong about that?
The public hearing was noticed under Exhibit 4. And then when the date ended up being set, it was posted on the website, and it's also been, that was an officially public notice, it's also been advertised through the city manager's newsletter.
Okay. So I think there was an original date set and then it moved, is that right?
Correct, there was a tentative date set for the hearing and then it moved to this date.
Okay. But the city provided notice of today's hearing in the required manner under the code, in your opinion, is that right?
That is correct.
Great, thank you. Okay, and then quick question, finally, we didn't have any public comment that was received in relation to the notice of application or the hearing today, but there were some comments, I believe, that were provided to the design review board that a member of the public had some concern, and I just couldn't glean from the record if that was addressed by the DRB, if staff had any thoughts on the issues that were raised by Mr. Peltier.
It was addressed by the design review board at the design review board meeting. And also I believe that Barry Loveless has addressed those concerns as well regarding the Sallyport, the stormwater facility, and some other design elements of the building.
Okay. Would it be best to have him clarify how those concerns have been reviewed or addressed?
Yes.
Okay. And then final question before I turn it over to Mr. Loveless. Because it's major amendments involved, we've got, 60 conditions, recommended conditions there in the staff report. And the way that they have been set up is sort of through redlining and then adding new ones. My question is, if I were to approve the proposal as recommended, does staff believe it would make the most sense to carry forward this sort of redline approach so that people can kind of see what the amendments were? What was the thinking there?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Examiner, we did decide that for continuity purposes that we would carry the previous approvals forward, and the ones that were no longer applicable were struck, and then the ones that were added have been underlined.
Right, so that if folks are trying to follow along with how things have changed since, I guess, was it 2008 or so?
That is correct.
When the original approval occurred, they can look at the new conditions and sort of see what has been changed, what's the same, et cetera. That's the basic idea.
Yes.
Great, okay. Well, thank you very much. I think those were the initial questions that I had. So at this point, why don't we, unless you wanted to turn to someone else first, I was gonna turn it over to Mr. Loveless, representing the city in a different capacity as the applicant. Does that work for you?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
Great, thank you. And good morning, Mr. Loveless. How are you?
Morning. Thanks. I could pull up, but could Kelly Alan tell me the exact questions I need to answer here?
Sure. If you could just introduce yourself for the audio, Mr. Loveless.
Yeah, my name is Barry Loveless. I'm the project manager for the city on this project.
Great. Thank you. The question that I had essentially was back in the DRB stage of this proceeding, there was a member of the public that had some concerns, and they related to a lack of Sallyport for the transportation of prisoners, concerns about stormwater on site, and I think some concerns about a lack of private spaces for attorneys and clients to confer, and security concerns about the driveway. And my question was what the design review board kind of thought about all that, and if there were any changes or how those concerns were addressed.
Okay, so the first one, the Sallyport, we talked about that several times in the DRB, and in essence, the building, the city made some compromises when they decided to buy an existing building, so it's not a total redesign, and it doesn't meet all the programming requirements, potentially, that would be desirable, but it is deemed to be a fully functional building, which is why we've decided to proceed with the project. Well, we don't have a Sallyport per se, but we really have all the functionality of a Sallyport with the way the building has been designed. We have a Sallyport is really like a garage attached to the building where a police car could pull in out of sight, enclosed, and out of the weather in order to transport a prisoner. So one thing is the weather. The other thing is out of public observation. We don't have all those functionalities, but we do have something that's very close, that if we have a an officer with somebody in custody that needs to pull up to the building, first they would go through a secure electronic gated fenced area, pull up to directly in front of the building on the side, which is a specific designated entrance for this type of activity. It has an overhang, so it is protected from rain. It's directly adjacent to the building, and it's secure by that fence, and it has direct access into the building. So the only functionality that a sally port would provide beyond that would be a fully enclosed area that wouldn't be observable by the public. But we think the police have decided that they can live with that compromise, and what's designed in the building will provide all the functionality they need. So that's the sally port question. I'm trying to think now the other question. So there,
I'll walk you through it. The next was just stormwater. There was
So stormwater.
The
stormwater system is functioning as designed. The comment that came up was related to water that appeared to be bubbling out of catch basins in the stormwater system, and the commenter was not familiar with the design. That is actually the design of the system. It can look deceiving if you're not aware, but because typically you see water going into catch basins, but the way the overflow structure is designed for this project, the water actually bubbles out of the catch basins and disperses down into the wetland. So it can look confusing if you don't understand how it functions. So it's functioning properly.
And it provides hydrologic recharge, it sounds like.
Right. It flows into the wetland and in the boundary.
Great. The next question, I think, had to do with a lack of private space for attorneys and clients within the building itself.
Right. So we've gone through several, design variations, and there is going to be at least one and possibly two private rooms where defendants and their counsel can confer in privacy in the court.
And then I think the very last question that had been brought up had to do with the security related to the long gravel driveway. That's the phrasing that the...
Yeah, I think that was a misnomer. It's not, there's no gravel driveway. It's a paved road off of Madison with a sidewalk and street lighting. And so the concern was there are some potential court attendees or victims that need to get in and attend a hearing, and the public transportation is at the corner, and you would have to walk a block up a sidewalk to get to the building. And there was a concern that these people might be exposed to danger or to something that could happen to them walking that block. Our response was it's nearby public transportation. It's a paved sidewalk, paved road, street lighting. There's not much more we can do. There are options on Bainbridge to call a Kitsap Transit service called BI Ride, where they will take you door to door. Obviously you can use taxi services or rideshare services, and the court staff can help facilitate that if there's a concern. And then the other, I guess, more obvious thing is that the police are co-located in this building. So there will be more police presence normally in the area. And certainly if there's a concern ahead of a hearing that from a victim or that they might need additional help, I'm sure the police could make sure their presence is available during that time.
Great, makes sense to me. So in your view then, all the concerns that were raised by members of the public have been addressed. Is that the basic concept?
That's correct.
Great. And then sounds dumb when I say it out loud, but I just want to make sure I fully understand the situation. The police and courts are taking over the entire building, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And did you have any further thoughts or comments you wanted to share today, Mr. Lovelace, before we see if there are other members of the public interested in testifying?
Nothing at this time, thanks.
Great, thank you. Okay, going to our attendees, the only name I don't recognize is a Diane Hartman. I don't know, are you there? Let's see if we can unmute Ms. Hartman. And you might need to unmute yourself on your computer, Ms. Hartman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I was just trying to see if you were interested in testifying today.
No, I'm just listening right now, but thank you.
Great, thank you for participating.
Absolutely.
And then I believe every other person has been identified or is a member of city staff. So Judge McCullough, if you changed your mind and you wanted to testify, now would be your opportunity. But I believe everyone else is associated with the city itself.
Yeah, if anyone wants to testify, they can click the raise my hand and then I can unmute them.
Exactly. All right, we'll wait a moment to see if anyone is rushing to have their hand raised. Okay, well, just so I better and fully understand, I know we do have the architect here. I was just gonna have Mr. Coates just very briefly explain kind of what the functional changes to the building are that are being made. So if we can get Mr. Coates.
Sure, I'm here. So you'd like to know the functional changes?
Just the basic overview of how the building is being redesigned and you know, to accomplish what the city's needs are.
Okay, sure. Well, in general, the superstructure is more or less remaining the same. We are making some seismic improvements due to the fact that a police station is what's considered an essential facility and has stricter seismic code requirements. So that is being done. A lot of the interior partitions are being reconfigured. We're saving shear walls where we need to maintain those for that structural stability. On the exterior, in certain areas, we are adding bullet-resistive cladding to provide a safe environment inside. As Mr. Lovelace stated, there are two essentially secure areas being designed in for maintenance. One is at the entry, where there'll be if someone did come in, they can lock down the lobby, but it's also true of the intake area where suspects would be contained to a specific area that also has its own mechanical system as well. I'm trying to think what else. We've taken great lengths to ensure that the court function and police function are isolated from one another for the most part, except where necessary. So there isn't really any overlap of functional space between the two departments.
Okay. Great, thank you. Did you have anything further you wanted to add, Mr. Coates?
No, sir, I'm here to answer questions if you have any other questions.
No, I think that helps clarify it for me, but thank you for being here and being available.
Thank you.
Okay, well, at this point, I'm going to turn it back to Ms. Fairley to see if city staff had any further comments they wanted to share before we go ahead and end today's hearing.
I do not. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for being here. The questions that I had, I recognize, were not too thorough or too many, but partially, I think, when you know, you've got a project that is just an amendment to an existing project. A lot of the issues that come up were addressed back in 2008. We addressed the vesting issue in terms of the changes that occurred in December 2019 to the municipal code. And the concerns that were raised by the public were addressed by the design review board, as Mr. Lovelace explained. So based on all of that, I do not see any issue with approving the project with the conditions that were recommended by city staff, with the note that we'll carry them forward in the manner that staff carried them forward in the staff report, so that it's, we'll show our math, if you will, so it's clear what's happening. So I will produce a decision to that effect in the next 10 working days. with these public hearings, you know, if they're, I'm always a little worried that maybe there were members of the public that wanted to participate, but were unable to for technological issues. So if someone reaches out to city staff and says, hey, I tried to participate, but was unable to, what should we do? Please reach out to my office so that we can figure it out. But essentially, what we've been doing is allowing written testimony, if you will, written comments in lieu of public testimony, given the fact that no one provided comments in advance in relation to the notice of hearing. I don't expect that will happen, but if it does happen, please reach out, let us know. And there are mechanisms by which we can sort that out. But otherwise, I would say I have no issue, like I said, with approving this proposal with the recommended conditions of approval as laid out in the staff report. So I think with that, we can go ahead and end today's hearing. I wish everyone good health and good luck with the project moving forward. And you should have my decision in about 2 weeks. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.